Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent education consultant located in North Idaho. My guest today is Hillary Moses. Good afternoon, Hillary. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Lon. Thanks for having me.
Okay. And for the record, it's May 23rd, 2016. It's the afternoon we're talking. And at least afternoon for me. It's still morning, I think, for you. You're in Hawaii, right?
It is. Yeah, it's just before 11 a.m.
Okay. Well, it was a good morning, I think. I took a nice and easy day. Good day. Okay. Title, When Parents Need Help. And you are a transition specialist and a parent coach, have been for some time, worked for a therapeutic boarding school for about a dozen years. And a couple years ago, you formed, are you co-owner of Solutions Transitional Support. And that's to help parent coaching parents, especially when they're transitioning. So parents need help, but sometimes parents get what are called needsy. They some minor things, and they go to a therapist or a professional to try to take care of it. And at the other extreme, there's people that parents that sometimes it's all in the family, and it's only if it's a dire death situation do we call in a professional. So when do parents need help? What are some of the things that the parents should look at, and if that's happening, they should go get some help?
Yeah, I think it's a great place to start. And one of the main focuses, I think, in making that assessment is really learning the difference between what's developmentally appropriate, age appropriate, even if it's a struggle and a pain for the parents and the family, and when is something more of a significant pattern. One of the things we talk a lot about is when a parent can no longer parent a child, when a child is unparentable. And, you know, we'll look at the differences between, you know, some of the typical behavior, late for curfew every now and then, things like that, which to us is pretty typical and can be managed within the home. But then things start to get more clinically significant, either with emotional health, mental health, social health. You know, a lot of struggles are coming up these days with the integration of technology and social media, and you know, in some ways, what that's doing for the development of kids and their anxiety and their sense of self, I guess. So
okay, well, let's. You mentioned the term. I think it was kid becomes ungovernable. What would indicate that? Because all parents, I raised four kids, and I very well experienced in kids getting sort of out of control. But what is it when it becomes ungovernable to where, to me, the definition has always been of the kid doing something that could be a danger to themselves or others?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the risk assessment is a major piece. And again, I say the patterns, looking at the patterns rather than the one or two off incidents. And so, you know, we'll have families who share stories with us about, you know, the child that will never come home. They don't know where they are. A lot of parents now have tracking software on their children's phones, and they see that they're going into the bad neighborhoods. They're skipping school consistently. There's self-harm. You know, there's the children are refusing the more traditional approach to at-home therapy, not talking with the family, isolating themselves in their rooms. We work with a lot of families, even with children who, you know, not so scary or high-risk behaviors, but kids who won't get off of their computers and throw tantrums when they're asked to get off of their video games, which has become their safe place in some ways, and refuse to leave their rooms. And so looking at the significance of the pattern, and, you know, one way I look at it, maybe to sum it up, is identifying the number of areas in a child's life where a behavior is negatively impacting. So if they're having struggles in school but managing well everywhere else, that's one thing. But if they're struggling with school, struggling in their social lives, not engaging in extracurricular activities, you know, not showing up with their families and at home, then you've got several areas of their lives that are being negatively impacted by whatever the behavior might be.
And their future looks grim if they keep going on the way they are, I presume. And or some of these behaviors might be dangerous, like going into the bad neighborhoods that are
when you got it.
Yeah, well, the tracking software. So if somebody has to use tracking software, is that an indication that maybe they need more help?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I ask a lot of the parents if that's what they want to do for a living, if they want to become detectives, and if that's how, you know, their value-based system in their family, if that's part of what defines them, and most of them say no. And a lot of my work as a parent coach is asking parents who they want to be as people and as parents, and focusing on that. So if the only way they feel some semblance of control of their children is through tracking software, in my eyes, it's definitely a concern. And frankly, it's not something that's helping change behaviors or enhance a family system anyway.
Oh, yeah. The relationships that come out of that can be pretty bad. The kid resents this being watched all the time.
You got it. And so does the parent. The parent resents the feeling like they have to do it, but you know, they feel so stuck and helpless and feel like they've tried everything else. And to me, that's an indicator of when you need help, is when you really have, you can look back and say that you've tried everything that's been presented to you up until that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you give an example of a recent client you've worked with, and what was going on as you determined it in working with the parent, and then follow through with what was the solution? What did you help them? What did they need help with?
Yeah, so let's see, a common situation. Let me think of an actual recent situation. So I have a family who, one of the things that we'll focus on is co-parenting dynamics. You know, so often we're talking about parent coaching, but we're really looking at the co-parenting team, and mm-hmm. a common issue is the parents coming from two vastly different perspectives on an issue. And one of the, okay, so a recent situation, there's a 15-year-old girl, and she's somebody who is not necessarily coming home for curfew, does sometimes engaging in some high risk behaviors. And we have one parent who is working more often, and one parent who is more the stay at home parent. And our focus, rather than on changing a child's behavior, is on helping the parents parent in a way that they're being the role models that they want to be. So I'll leave that there and say that what we focused on with a couple of the behaviors is the dynamic between the co-parents, because one parent was put in the position of doing what we call parenting on the fly. You don't always have the opportunity to check in with your co-parent about a decision, an in-the-moment decision. And so this girl was getting ready to, she had been grounded, she had left for the weekend, didn't contact anybody, you know, came home and the decision on the parent's part was that she was grounded. And then the at-home parent was there by himself, and the daughter asks to take the dog for a walk. And parenting on the fly, something simple like that, he mm-hmm. needs to make a decision for himself. And he has to
remember what the decision was too, because that's something innocuous. It's almost an automatic reaction to say, sure, take the dog for a walk, because that's totally out of context of the concerns that caused her to be grounded.
You got it. And yet these parents come from two very different places, where he tends to be more trusting, want to give the benefit of the doubt, which has certainly bit him in the butt plenty uh-huh. of times. And she tends to be more structure oriented and, you know, and strict about things. And so, you know, in kind of offering that olive branch, so to speak, he says yes. And then what resulted, of course, you know, she didn't end up just walking the dog. She met the unhealthy friends. I think she had maybe smoked some pot. He ended up going and finding her. But what we focused on was the parenting dynamic, that when the other parent came home, the eruption that came in the co-parenting dynamic that really shook through the rest of the family system. And so what we worked on is accepting that parenting on the fly will happen, and that it's not always going to go well. And so the skills that we teach is that when parent number two comes home, they need their job in honoring and respecting the uniqueness of their co-parent is to approach it with genuine curiosity. Well, what were the pros and cons? Would you do something different next time? How did it end up? You know, and just offering that support in parenting on the fly. And then the first parent also needs to be able to approach, you know, him or herself with that same curiosity. You know, why did I make that decision? And what was the emotional the emotion behind it, and did I need to incorporate some more practical aspects, thinking like, wow, this is a kid who runs away all the time. And so we worked through both the pros and cons of his decision in the moment, and then the parenting dynamic, so that they could maintain strength moving forward. Because once things erupted with them, then that of course trickled down to both of their kids and caused instability for the following week.
Yeah, and it's an open sesame for a kid that wants to play one parent off against the other.
You got it.
And so the thing I think, what's the takeaway for a parent? We're about out of time, but what's the main takeaway that parents should keep into mind so far as when they need help?
I think the takeaway is, one, asking for outside opinions on even deciding whether or not they need help, but really assessing multiple areas of a child's life and how many areas of their lives their negative behavior is impacting. I would also say really quickly is addressing the priorities, because what gets in the way for a lot of parents for asking for help is, prioritizing a child's education and saying, well, if they're getting help either for themselves or their child, is that going to get in the way of the child's education and the time spent on that? And that's just an example of a way that parents can misprioritize things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're about out of time, but could you take about a minute and talk about your business that you're a co-founder of, Solutions Translational Support? Could you explain that? And then how to get a contact if anybody wants to talk to you more about this subject or about your program?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Solutions Translational Support, we're offering parent coaching. We do that when children are in treatment. We offer parent coaching when children are not in treatment. And, when children are coming home from treatment, we focus on weekly calls, video calls, and then, as needed, non-crisis, in-the-moment support for parents, focusing on communication skills, building new habits, really empowering parents. We also offer some online classes for parents so we have facilitated courses that parents can have a group of people involved in a similar situation, and it's facilitated by myself, so they're getting some content and education, some activities to follow through with. And most of the families we work with are starting off by signing up for 3-month contracts, and then a lot of them continue to work with us after that, just for the ongoing level of accountability and strategizing that they find helpful.
Okay, well, another question I'd forgot to ask earlier. Do you work very much with the child, him or herself, or is it almost primarily the parents, or what's that mix?
It is really primarily the parents. We're working on shifting a paradigm from parents trying to change their kids' behaviors to really honing in on themselves as role models and skill building. Every now and then, I'll bring a child who's invested and interested into the conversation to get their take on how their parents are doing. So kind of a role reversal oftentimes for that child.
Okay. And how would somebody get a hold of you? A website, a phone number, if they had some questions?
Yeah, we've got three options. We have our website, which is www.solutionsts, as in transitional support, .com. Phone number 808-345-1286. And my email is hmoses@solutionsts.com.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Hillary. It's been very enlightening. And good luck in the business. And I hope it keeps growing and you keep so busy you don't know what to do.
Thanks so much, Lon. Take care.
All righty. Bye.